Our lesson this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Hear God's word. Then God spoke to Elijah, "Get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you." So he got up and went to Zarephath. And as he came to the entrance of the village, he met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. And he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink." And as she went to get it, he called out, "And while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat?" And she said, "I swear, as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle, and you found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat, we'll die." And Elijah said to her, "Don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you've said, but first make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. And then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. This is the word of God to Israel. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought." And she went right off and did it. Did just as Elijah asked. And it turned out, as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out, and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled the letter, exactly as Elijah had delivered it. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Well, once again, we come in the middle of the story. The prophet Elijah has been listening very close to God and God's direction. All of Israel is under the rule of the most evil ruler that they had ever known to that time, Ahab. He was worshiping and building temples to false gods. He was doing everything imaginable, but he was horrible. And the prophet called him on it. And afterwards, God directed him to leave, to go into hiding. And he gave him directions on how to find a brook where there was water. And keep in mind, this is in the middle of a drought. So he provided water, and he had the ravens provide him with food. I mean, literally, the ravens were coming and dropping off food to Elijah so that he could be fed. But then it came to a certain point when God told him to move on. And he told him about this woman. So, trying to be faithful, he went yet again. And seeing her, he asked for water, and not just water, but food. Now imagine yourself for a moment being that woman, a widow, with a child, a son. And in those days, women and children were pretty much considered like objects. They had no importance, and they had even less importance if there wasn't a man in their life, if they were just there. And here she was, with no one. At the end of their food, at the end of all resources, and just assuming, well, we've got one last meal, and that's it. There was no hope left, especially in the midst of this drought. So along comes a stranger. I can only think that she thought, because it was the end for her anyway, that she might as well share with a stranger. And so, even though she was shaking her head and wondering what was going on, she agreed. She brought him some water. She brought him a biscuit. And then saw God in action. How amazing must that have been afterwards to keep going to prepare a meal, and each time finding not the empty jug, not the end of the resources, but finding those resources replenished each time. Now, it wasn't a huge feast, but it was enough to keep going. It's interesting how we can feel ourselves so lost and like we have so little, even during those times when, by comparison, we have so much. We can go through periods of feeling like everybody else has more than we do, not realizing how wealthy we really are. And we are indeed truly wealthy. But what God is trying to do, not just in this example, but in each of our lives as well, is to remove all those things that may be getting in our way of knowing Him. All those things that may be getting in the way of our trusting Him and bringing Him to a place of closeness with Him. And sometimes it means that He has to go to really great lengths. Sometimes things get pretty rough before they get better. But here's the odd truth in this. Amazingly, we see God best when we're put to the test. Let me say it again. We see God best when we're put to the test. As long as we have our own resources and we have our own ways of making things happen, then we tend to focus on that. We like to argue that we're just being prepared. We like to argue that we're just doing what we need to do. But often, we're constantly messing around with things in our lives and trying to make things happen to the point that there is no room for God. And if we're so caught up in this busyness of making it all happen, how can God show us who God is in our lives? Some of the most amazing experiences in my life have come at times when my hands have been tied, when I've been able to do nothing to make things happen. And I've almost always had to go through those periods of, maybe not as extreme as the widow's, but go through those periods of knowing that I can't do a thing about my circumstances. That I am totally helpless. We hate that feeling. There's no doubt about it. But to really know God best, we have to be put to the test. There's another element in this too. There are two people in this story. There's Elijah, who is the prophet, who is trying in every way he can to be faithful, following where God leads. He may not understand it. He doesn't have the answers always of why he's to do what he's to do, but he's paying attention. His focus is on going where he needs to be. So in this, he is exercising his faithfulness. Even as this woman is having her opportunity to grow in her faith and in her knowledge of God's provision. So you have two people here. And one of the things that I see all the time is that we have a tendency, when we're in difficult circumstances, to just be focused on ourselves. To be focused on our own situation and thinking about what we have to do, how we have to make this happen. And it becomes too often all about us. But God wants us connected to each other. And so He uses each of us in different ways to impact one another, to touch each other. And one day, you're going to be the person who's the helper. Another day, you're going to be the person who's in need. Another day, you're going to be a person who's sharing a piece of wisdom with someone. It all spreads. And again, some of the most powerful experiences, as just as you were sharing earlier, Stacy, it comes when there are times when you are the one who's sharing the good news and times when you're the one receiving the good news. And that happens for each of us, because we are not supposed to live in isolation. We are called to be a community. And it's important that we touch each other's lives. It's important that we share and we come together. And as we were sharing, it happens at times in very surprising ways. This week was my clean out the stuff week. Anybody have a lot of stuff that just accumulates? I think I've told you before, I never lived any place longer than 4 years at a time. So, you know, you have to clean out your stuff, right? Okay, Tim and I have been in our house now for 17 years, coming up on our 17th anniversary. And so, yeah, there's stuff accumulated. Yeah. And so my mission this week was to start cleaning out stuff, start sorting through it. And one of the things that I came across in the back of my closet were all the hats that I wore when I lost my hair from chemo. Boxes of hats. And it's been 15 years. And I've kind of hung on to them because I figured, well, you know, you've got the space back there. There's nothing going in the back of the closet back there anyway. And should, worst case scenario, the cancer come back, the hats are already there, you don't have to go out and buy hats again. So, you know, might as well keep them, right? But there was something in me that said, you know what? It's 15 years for crying out loud. It's time to get rid of those hats. So I've shared with you about this great organization called FreeCycle. It's wonderful because you, through email and online and all, you can post things that you no longer need, and people who need them can find them. And by the same token, if you need something, then you can say, hey, has anybody got XYZ? And if somebody does, well, then they can provide it. And so you're all sharing and caring for each other in a very cool way. So I posted my little thing about the hats, and it must have been 15 minutes later. I got a response. I actually got several responses. And so the woman made arrangements to come and stop by at 6:30 that evening. And as I mentioned it to my son, Scott, he said, oh yeah, you can expect her around 7:30 or 8:30. There's real time and then there's free cycle time. And he was right on the money. 6:30 passed and I thought, oh, well, maybe she's not coming after all. Then I kind of forgot about it. 8:30 rolled around and there she was. I hear the knock on the door. She comes. So I'm showing her the hats, and she's loving them, and I have to tell her the story. And I said, well, I said, these hats, they were great, you know, during the time I had cancer and had chemo. And she said, oh, my mom just had breast cancer. So that started a conversation. And as we were sharing, you know, with each other, how she was talking about how God had worked in her mom's life, and I was sharing how God had worked in my life, and she's Jewish, and so she was sharing Mazel Tov, and then finally, at one point in the conversation, she said, can I give you a hug? And we must have hugged like 3 or 4 times before she left, because there was a connection. We were strangers, and yet we weren't strangers. And it was something so beautiful and so moving that she even emailed me later, and she said, I had to tell 3 friends your story. We were all in tears. You know, there was just this thing that was above and beyond that you can't even put into words. And Stacy, you know, I think that's what you were trying to share earlier today, is that when we are open and when we are able to let go, particularly of things that maybe make us feel safe, make us feel secure, there's something in having that stack of boxes of hats in the back of the closet that gave me a little security for whatever reason. But it was time to let them go. And each of us in our lives have those things that we need to let go of because they're taking up space that God wants to be in. Does that make sense? We've all got things in our lives that are taking up space, God's space. And when we let them go, He affirms us. And He shares with us incredible experiences of connection with His people and with Him. One final thing about this story. This story could also be a beautiful metaphor for the church. If you're following any of the news or any of the things we've been talking about, this is a time when the church, as we know it, is in a drought, is in a time of struggle, is in a time of not knowing what lies ahead, except to know that everything is going to be different. And so we are having to let go of so many different things. And like that widow and her son, and the son could represent the future generations, there are times when we feel like we just have enough for one meal left. We're at the end of the bottle. And then someone comes and asks something of us. And instead of depleting what we have, it amazingly feeds us. Perfect example of that has been our journey with the manse. Something that seemed impossible, where we seemed depleted, and yet that has been a gift that continues to give. And as we think we're at the end, we find more flour, we find more oil. My friends, God wants us to rely on nothing but Him. And He's going to do whatever it takes to shake us up, to free us from all those things that are in the way, filling up that God space. And we've got to keep in mind, we see God best when He puts us to that test. Let us pray. Almighty God, we would love to have things easier. We would love to have things go more according to our plans, but that isn't Your plan. So Lord, help us to trust, help us to be faithful, help us to open our eyes to see You and to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.